Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today we're going to be talking about using the stages at work in your business life, specifically connecting to your evolving customer. We've talked before about management and leadership aspects of using the stages at work. If you missed that, go back and check that out. The basis for this conversation is from the book, The Connected Business, in which I go over how to use stages for all kinds of different aspects of the business and in terms of connecting to your team members and your bosses and your colleagues and so on. And so today we're going to talk about connecting to your customer. Before we get started, quick shout out to new listeners in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Thank you for this connection. Thank you for joining us today. I'm so excited to have you here. If you have questions, thoughts, ideas, or just want to tell me what's going on in your world, follow the link in the show notes and let me know how I can help. So let's talk about your customers. Let's talk about connecting to them. So in the marketing world, you focus on marketing to a large number of customers all at once, generally. But in the sales world, you focus most often on one person at a time. And so why? It's actually so much easier, one person at a time, right? Because you're often meeting with them face to face or video to video. And you're in a position to read them and understand them on a deeper level. Now, good sales professionals are all about building real connection and real relationships that lead to repeat sales. And as a sales professional, you already know the importance of listening more than you talk, finding common interests, and getting to know your customer. So allow me to add now to your craft by asking you to ascertain their dominant stage and their current stage. Now, these are two different things. Their dominant stage is the stage where, if left to their own devices, they would spend most of their time. Their current stage, in contrast, is where they happen to be right this minute when they're meeting with you. So a customer who is typically stage 6, live and let live, might be very stage 3 needs during your meeting. Now, if you can spot this, you can adjust your approach. If you approach them with the laid-back air of stage 6 while they are internally desperate for a solution, you will fail. But if you can spot their temporary shift to stage 3, you can meet them there with the laser-focused, get shit done attitude that they're looking for. So how can you understand your customer's dominant stage and current stage? So for their dominant stage, their job roles will give you a reasonable place to start because people in certain stages are perfect for certain job roles, but also the job role you do will pull you into a dominant stage because you're at work day after day, doing that job that is dominant in that stage. So let's revisit the list. Stage 1, everything. These are jobs that are rampant multitasking, like administrative assistants. Stage 2, experiences. These are jobs that include customer insights, product packaging design. They're kind of experience-focused jobs. Stage 3, needs. Specification development, procurement, logistics. These are jobs that are focused on needs. Stage 4, others. Human resources. Entry-level management should be focused on their team. Charity projects. Stage 5, ideology. the CEO, the board members, the CIO, and security should be focused on the ideology of the company. And I don't mean the political ideology of the company, I mean the business ideology of the company. Stage six, live and let live. This is kind of a passive ideology. This is mid-level management. That's a great job for a sort of live and let live, sort of passive business ideology mindset. Stage seven, questioning everything. This is where you find your innovation teams, your CTO, your head of research, your new product development. You get the idea. Stage eight, purpose. Startup CEOs, angel investors, startup employees, event planners. I know you would think they'd be in experiences, but no, actually they're much better off as stage eight, which is purpose-driven, the purpose of the event. And anyone whose life purpose matches the task at hand is going to be kind of stage eight. And then stage nine, consciousness. This may come as strange to you, but media relations and public relations tend to do best with a stage nine mindset. So these are the ideal stages for each of these roles. And so people in these stages gravitate to these roles, and the roles tend to keep them in the stages. Now, as you get to know them, you can refine your thoughts in which stage they are in most of the time. Remember that their personal life may involve things that take them into stages that have nothing to do with their job. So try to see their full humanity. For their current stage, look for the signs. I assume you will meet with them several times. Each time you'll have an opportunity to read their current stage in the moment. Watch their body language. Listen to their words. Let them tell you who they are and where they are. So here's the kind of thing that you will see in here. Someone in stage one, everything, will have open body language. They'll be relaxed, but eager or interested. Energy is up and positive. They speak of being open to new things or seeking new things. Someone in stage two, experiences, has a bit of that deer in the headlights look. They could have a wide range of feelings, depending on what's appropriate to the experience that they're dealing with. The energy is up, but it's kind of frenetic. It's kind of spinning. They speak about the experience that they're dealing with, recounting it over and over. Stage three, needs. People in stage three, they sit forward, or they're otherwise straight to the point. The energy is kind of dense and held in, and they talk about literally what they need. Stage four, others. Someone in this stage would have body language that may include hand motions that move up from below, signifying support of someone else. The energy is more relaxed, it's up, it's positive, despite the potential negative issues that you might be actually addressing. And they're going to talk about literally what others need. So that's an easier one to spot. Stage five, ideology. People in stage five, the body language is closed off when discussing opposing ideology and when discussing those who they see as aligned with an opposing ideology. The energy is dense and sort of swirling in a simmering way as if heading towards a boil. And they'll speak in terms of us and them. They're prone to being offended, annoyed, or angry. They speak of politics or religion or other ideologies, like maybe the ideology of the business. And that's their main focus. Stage six, live and let live, this sort of passive ideology. People in stage six, you're going to see a body language that is partly open and relaxed, not fully, but partly open, preferring the status quo. Energy is more open and calm, but not too far out from the body. It doesn't extend out too much. A little bit. They still speak in us versus them terms, but only with trusted counterparts, not publicly. And they'll speak of work projects and other life distractions. In stage seven, people who are in stage seven questioning everything. Body language is guarded. It may be physically down or retracted or resigned. The energy can be either excited and cerebral, as in sort of an innovation stage seven, or it can be dampened and low and dark, like the dark night of the soul, because stage seven can go either way. They can exhibit signs of depression if in this stage for too long. And so look out for people who might fake being okay just to kind of get through the workday, but they're not really okay. They'll speak in terms of questioning the status quo, breaking the rules, or giving up on the old ways of doing things, reshaping the paradigm, and phrases like that. Stage eight. People in stage eight, this is the purpose stage. The body language is relaxed, but, well, purposeful. Slightly forward, relaxed shoulders. Energy is confident, joyous, and larger than before. And they'll speak about personal mission and making a difference. Stage nine, consciousness. The body language for people in stage nine is very relaxed and at ease, almost floating. They're seemingly impervious to chaos and stress, very even keel. Energy is moving like a calm ocean. It's deep and it's big and it's extending out up to about arm's length. And they'll speak as if detached from the situation. They see it from the outside, even if their daily life and or their work life are deeply affected by it. So notice that I discuss what their energy feels like here. As you evolve along your own path, you will start to pick up on your customer's vibe. You are already reading this to some extent to know how to interact with them, right? But as you improve your own ability to read people, you will find that you can feel more than just a general vibe or understand what kind of mood they're in. You can get a bit more detail on how that vibe feels. Is it big or small? Swirling or calm? Relaxed or on edge? Maybe even sense some colors there? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Try, give it a go. You can take that skill as far as you care to. Now, there are many good books on that subject, and I recommend giving it a try with an open mind. So read a few of them. So try it out. Even without learning to read someone's energy, you can read their body language and you can hear their words. So practice understanding where they are and meet them there. Now, I left out stages 10 and 11 here, as they're incredibly rare to find in the corporate world. If you meet them, you will know. They will almost kind of glow with divine light. They'll seem to kind of float, relaxed, joyous, detached, and in love with life. See if you can spot them in everyday life. Lastly, remember that your customers are in constant evolution, just like you. Every meeting could be a little different. You might, if you're on good enough terms with them and if you can't meet them where they are, you might help shift them to a more appropriate stage for your meeting. But be aware that that's not going to last much beyond your meeting. It may all seem to go really well for the meeting and then fall apart when they don't follow through, so don't be surprised because that shift you made during the meeting didn't last when you left. The best bet is to try to join them in their stage where they are right now and understand why they are there to begin with. So this is a little bit different technique here than you would use with your team, where you actually will try to shift them into the right stage for the task. When trying to understand your customer, you're just not with them for long enough to really have that make any real effect for you. So you really have to meet them where they are. And that's the difference here. Give it a try. Let me know how it helps. We've already been hearing a lot of great stories from organizations of all kinds, government, military, corporate, Silicon Valley, so on, about how this can be useful and different ideas for it. So please share. I so enjoy hearing about these, the stories of how it's working for you and different ways that you've used it that I haven't thought of yet. So let me know how it's going in your world. Thanks for joining me today. And as always, I'm wishing you, Parna Asati, complete connection.